Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Yes, it's the Fantasy Edge special Super Bowl edition. We're all finished with any kind of fantasy news and stuff, so we're just going to try and sort out some Super Bowl stuff for you and have a little fun on the podcast. It's just Kevin and I doing a kind of a bare bones Super Bowl special, and for fantasysixpack.net. I am Richard Seville, Kevin Wolf, fantasysixpack.net, and Kev, well, it's a Super Bowl that a little bit different than what a lot of people thought it might have been, but Saints didn't get in there. A lot of talk about that. What's your thoughts of this Rams and just on the face of it, this particular matchup?
It should be good. I mean, I think as soon as we found out who the final four teams were, we knew that we weren't really going to get a boring Super Bowl. It's going to be hopefully, you know, high scoring with a little bit of defense sprinkled in, some wrinkles with Belichick and some really good playmakers on the Rams side. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not 100% sure who's going to win, which I feel like is always a good thing when going into a game as far as like how entertaining it will be. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And it's one of those games where you could almost, because you know how the Rams played the Chiefs, in that fabulous Monday night game. So the Patriots are having to play the other team now of that famous game. So we'll see how they can see what they can do. On the show, we're going to be looking at some of the prop bets that these are just popular side bets of that people bet on during the Super Bowl, like who's the MVP. So not just the game and the game final score. We'll leave our predictions for the game for a little bit later, but we can get into a little bit of NFL news that people have been kind of wondering about. I'll start off with my bit of news. I'll start off with Cam Newton, that his shoulder appears to be on the bend. So, yeah, Cam Newton. It wasn't too bad for Cam Newton, but it's something that we're going to be watching throughout the offseason into the OTAs and training camp. Seems like forever now, training camp, summer, especially with this winter that we're having, very cold. Obviously, you're over in California, so there's nothing you have to worry about.
Yeah, I was just at a trade show in San Diego, and I met someone who was from the East Coast, and they were like, "I'm so glad for this trade show. It's like single digits on the East Coast. Meanwhile, it's like 70 degrees and sunny in California. I'm very thankful for that."
Yeah, everyone's. Yeah, it's very, very, very cold winter. Coming into February, and Groundhog Day on Saturday. So hopefully the groundhog doesn't see a shadow, and then there'll be an early spring, so people aren't freezing. Anyway, enough of the weather, because that's not going to be a factor, because the game's in Atlanta and they're indoors, so it should be. So there's no issue with conditions or anything in this game. Any other news around the NFL that you might want to that you're any interested in that's been going on, Kev?
Not too much. I mean, usually the news starts up after the Super Bowl, but the most interesting thing that stands out to me, I guess, is that the Cowboys aren't expected to extend Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that are, I think it's about time. I think they need to change. But I'm also thinking that Jerry Jones needs to step back from managing the team. He's too hands-on for an owner. And I think
you can't do both. You just can't do both, I don't think. Nowadays, there's you can't have someone making decisions and all. Like, I don't know.
Well, I've been seeing comments in the Dallas-Fort Worth news for ages. And people, you know, granted, you know, it's just, you know, trolls and everything that get on there in their comments. But I like reading the comments that they're all fed up with Jerry Jones. In fact, some of them want him to sell the team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, it gets way out there, but there is I think the bottom line is that Jerry needs to step away, get a proper football guy who's apart from it. Because I mean, it just looks like Jason Garrett has sort of been like just a yes man, you know, and you almost kind of think back to like the Barry Switzer days and the Johnson, pardon me, the Johnson days and all those things. So, and they were kind of fed up with Jerry Jones. So, I mean, I think it was particularly fiery with Johnson. That was more, but I think Barry Switzer was bad too. He didn't like, being told what to do. I mean, whereas, Jason Garrett, I've got this job, so I'll just sit here and just do it. So, but he's on a string.
He's got to have a short leash by now. I mean, they haven't done anything relevant in years. Like when they were, I think they're the only team, the only one seed that hasn't advanced in like the last 12 years in the NFC, something like that. So, I don't know. I'm not sure when he's be done, but I think probably Jerry Jones handing the GM reins to someone else is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Good start.
I think that's one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about too, was some of the coaching changes that have happened. I mean, there's so many. We'll probably get into these when the season starts, when we start our podcast up again for 2019. But, a lot of people thought Marvin Lewis, was a long time coming as well. I do too. I think, Marvin Lewis, who's in there for now for the Bengals? It's been so long, I've forgotten.
Zach Taylor, he's the quarterback's coach for the Rams.
Right.
But he's not confirmed because I think the Rams are in the Super Bowl. So I don't think he's confirmed.
Yeah. But we won't get into too much of that because we're talking Super Bowl. And so let's get right into it. And what would you like to start with, Kev?
Let's just start with some Super Bowl storylines, some news that's come out in the recent days. Honestly, I haven't followed. I feel like this news cycle for the Super Bowl hasn't been that exciting. I think in past years, like, there's been a little more drama, a little more, you know, more sound bites given out, interesting things. They did like a weird thing. I think it was their first time this year where they had like the players side by side from opposing teams side by side. Did you see that? Where like Tom Brady and Jared Goff were sitting next to each other being interviewed. And like, I think Aqib Talib and someone from the Patriots were there too. It was super weird.
Was this at the media scrum? Like, you know, the
yeah, it was at media day. Scrum. And I remember there was like a clip that went viral that was like, someone asked Brady, with Goff sitting right next to him, someone asked Brady, like, what advice do you have for Goff? And Brady was like, I don't have any advice. I'm not giving him any advice. And I just thought it was like a super weird. I'd never seen that. I don't think they've ever done that, right?
No, I've never seen players like, together. I mean, they have sort of separate areas where the media goes. There's a huge media presence there. I mean, we could have probably, I think F6P, we could have probably gotten if we had somebody down there, it's not too hard to get a media pass. I don't think.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think you got to pay for it. But, if we had, I don't think it's too hard. I think one guy got kicked out. Yeah. It was, I think he was just kind of like a YouTuber or something like that.
Yeah, he's with No Free Promo, so I'm not going to say what company he's with, but they're a pretty popular website and they're pretty known for kind of trolling and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got kicked.
They were banned from Roger Goodell's press conference.
That's right.
Yeah, because they give him a hard time, but I don't know. It's pretty funny. I think it's all good. It's all good press for the league.
Hmm. I see what you got pulled up here. Robert Kraft expects Brady to play for quite a while. No surprises there. Brady's going to play well into his 40s. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I mean by it's been a slow week. Like, things like this were like the headlines. And was anyone really surprised to hear that Brady said there's no chance Sunday will be his last game? Like, there was no doubt in my mind that Brady was not going to retire.
No. No, he's not going to retire.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a slow week. Like, another headline is like Sean McVay says Todd Gurley will be a big part of this game. Like, wow, amazing. That's such drama.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's like there's not a lot of big, like, outstanding storylines to this game. It's basically, I think there's more talk about Maroon 5, and that's even weak.
Oh, yeah. So now that's drama. Like, apparently, yeah, I don't know. People thought that who got asked to perform? Travis Scott. They said Travis Scott. They were like, don't do it, the Super Bowl or something. I don't know. People felt like because it's in Atlanta and Atlanta has so many successful artists that they should have asked some Atlanta artists to do it.
Right.
But like even then, that's not drama. Like, I want these teams to hate each other. I want Aqib Talib to be, you know, saying like, hey, Tom Brady's washed or something. Like, but no, they're just, I don't know.
Yeah. Patriots paying for Josh Gordon's treatment, I see you got here. Josh Gordon.
Yeah, like I said, slow on the news cycle. So maybe let's just get into the prop bets. The prop bets is fun.
All right.
Talk about the prop bets.
Is that why you keep flashing it in front of my face here?
I'm trying to move it on the Google Sheet so I can see it because I feel like we could get into these top 20 prop bets too.
All right. Let's run through a few of these.
Also, including like my personal favorites. But yeah, let's run through the top 20. Go ahead.
All right. Will James Devlin score a touchdown? I say. The consensus is no. That's the popular bet. I would say, yeah, it's a very good bet to make. I mean, you could put a buck on that and get, whatever the odds are for that. I think it's a very good chance Devlin scores. He's vultured everything else. So,
just to be clear, to the listeners, this is from the top 20 Super Bowl 53 prop bets by total numbers at William Hill, US. So these are the most popular prop bets that have been placed so far. I don't have the odds in front of me for these, but it's just kind of yes or no type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that first one, I guess the most popular one is, will James Devlin score a touchdown? No. And I feel like the odds for him to score a touchdown are probably like pretty good. Like I feel like you can get, actually, let me look at it. You can get, 12-1 odds that he's going to score a touchdown. So
yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty solid. I mean, and he's like a goal line guy. I read a stat that said every rushing touchdown that the Patriots have scored this postseason have been in two running back sets that have included James Devlin. So, you know, maybe you just figure one of those times they're going to hand it to him off fullback dive.
That's true. It depends on how close they can get to the goal. I mean, James White and Sony Michel, I mean, they're obviously, you know, he's got to get past them first. So. It is tough.
And you don't,
I think 12-1 is fair.
Aspect that they run that little fullback flat thing, and he just catches a 1-yard touchdown wide open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Successful Fouth down conversion.
That's a typo, but I didn't type this up. So.
All right, yeah, successful fourth down conversion.
I don't feel bad calling it out. Yeah. Typo here. Successful fourth down conversion.
In game, fourth down conversion. Yes, easy. Right. Yeah, there will be fourth.
Yeah, it's like, it's, I don't know, man. It feels like a trick question almost. Like you just assume that there will be a successful fourth down conversion. But I don't know. But if I had to bet, I think I would bet yes. I feel like these are two really aggressive coaches who probably believe in their offenses a lot and believe in their play calling. And, you know, if they're fourth and two from the 30 something, they probably got kickers who can kick that 55 yarder, but.
Yeah, well, when they're in that gray area across the 50 to the 40 there of the opposing team, where the field goal is somewhere in the range of the high 50s to 60, you know, they're going to obviously, you know, rather than punt. I mean, it is a Super Bowl. You got to take your chances, like what the Eagles did last year with the
definitely. I'm making a note. I'll probably put some money on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I mean, fake money. Gambling.
Another one. Will there be a safety in the game? No. Fairly safe that. Will there be overtime in the game? No. I don't think very few Super Bowl. I don't even think there's been a Super Bowl that's gone to overtime, has there?
That's a good question. I'll look that up for you. But the safety, yeah, that's not. Nah, come on. Like, you can't bet for it's something like I remember like.
That's a risky one.
There was like a 4-year span where it happened 3 times in 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
It was, I know the Ravens one had a safety and I know the Broncos one had a safety. The Broncos Panthers one had a safety because you remember that's how the game started.
Right.
With the bad snap and everyone was like, oh my God, the safety bet cashed. Oh my God. Oh my God.
But that's the thing though. This Super Bowl is like kind of, it's pretty open. It could be where a Super Bowl where the defense is really.
What am I? Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but what are we talking about? The Super Bowl 2 years ago, Patriots Falcons went to overtime.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had to catch up. That was, the famous comeback Super Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that one. the Patriots in third year in a row. So I guess it's there's a chance. I mean, after all, both the conference championships went into overtime. Possible.
Yeah.
It's worth
it. I don't know if I'd like to see that because I'm not a fan of the overtime discussion. I don't like how people think it needs to be changed, like that kind of thing. You know, like people always say, like for example, if the Patriots, like they went to overtime, the Patriots got the ball first and they scored a touchdown, people would be 5 hours the next day, they would be saying, well, you know, the Rams should have had a chance to get the ball and then, you know, things would have been different, blah, 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 blah.
You mean Mahomes should have had the ball, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened last week, right? Yeah. Right? And I don't like that discussion, and I think it's tiresome. I think it's necessary.
Well,
I don't want to hear it in the Super Bowl again. So if it happens again, I don't want to hear it. So basically what I'm saying is I hope it doesn't go to overtime.
Well, why don't they, like for at least the regular season, why don't they just have a 12-minute period? Because, you know, we've had ties, you know, I mean, the idea is to break a tie, but –
yeah, but
we ended up with more ties last season than I can remember. I think there was three ties or something like that, at least two.
My thinking on the why you can't have a timed thing is because then it just gives too much of an advantage to teams that can kind of like hold the ball. I don't know. Like, let's say team one comes down and kicks a field goal and then team two comes down and, you know, goes on a 7-minute drive and leaves the other. I don't know. It just seems weird to have it timed for overtime.
I don't know why they cut it down to 12, but I mean, it doesn't give.
The cutting down to 12 didn't really make sense either. I'm not really sure what the fix is for overtime. The one I've heard is, well, like, obviously you can't go to college rules. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm not keen on this college style.
Yeah. But the one I've heard and the one that kind of just logically makes the most sense is, that you just, you know, you score, you play until someone can't score or there's a turnover or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or someone, like if you kick a field goal and someone comes down and scores a touchdown, game's over. If you kick a field goal, they kick a field goal, game continues, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to one up your opponent. And I think that logically makes sense, especially for like playoffs and the Super Bowl. Like it's too, you can't do that in the regular season, but playoffs and the Super Bowl, I think you should.
They could just, I don't know why they could
mini rant.
They could just, they could just end games. It's a tie. If it's a tie, it's a tie. Just end the game, you know, like they used to. If they don't want to get people hurt.
Richard, I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me at all? At all? Hello? My microphone's gone off? Uh-oh. Okay, hang on a second. Okay, let's move on from overtime talk and get on to the other ones because we got a few that we got to. First score of the game will be touchdown. Very possible. It's either touchdown or field goal, obviously. So,
or safety.
Yeah, or safety. Longest field goal made in the game under 54.5 yards.
I think that one makes sense. I think kind of for what we talked about for the successful fourth down. I feel like if it's 55 or 56, like they're just gonna, and it's fourth and two, they're just gonna go for it. You know, they're not. I don't know. I think if you're betting the over on this one, you're counting on Greg Zuerlein coming in and kicking something crazy.
That's true. Greg Zuerlein's good for, well, I don't know.
Goskowski's great, Goskowski. But he's not like a distance kicker. Like Zuerlein is, I mean, they trusted him with the, like, what was it, 55-yard game winning field goal last week in overtime? Yeah. So that's I think that's what you're counting on if that happens.
That's one thing too. This is a Super Bowl with two solid kickers. And if you look at all four teams that were in the conference finals, all of them were solid kickers, I think. Like, I mean, Butker's good. Zuerlein was good. Goskowski, of course, and Lutz.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like good teams have good kickers. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like only the bad teams I hear about their kickers struggling. And I don't know if that's like positive reinforcement, confirmation bias, or whatever. But I feel like mostly the good teams have good kickers.
Score in the last 2 minutes of the first half. It's a yes. Very, very common to have that. We had it last year, of course, again, the Philly thing. Will John Johnson have an interception? That's a weird one.
Yeah, it's super specific. He's the guy who intercepted Breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, super random. These are like, if you're betting no on these, like, you're not even really making any money. So,
yeah.
I can't even find the prop on Bovada for this.
Yeah.
I can. Okay. No is -650.
Yeah.
So, like, is that really worth it? Minus 650, and, like, he might just come up with a BS interception. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Those ones are, like, yeah. Will there be a successful two-point conversion? No. I think that's one to take up on a yes.
We're on the same page, I think. Again, I think, you know, good offensives with good coaches who got good play calls, like, I think you could see it.
Yeah. Reverse point spread proposition. What's it says? Minus 230 for the Rams. That's 230 to 1 for the Rams to win by...
To lose by less than 7.5 points.
To lose by less than 7.5 points.
Yeah, so to keep it within 7.5 points for the Rams. Right. Minus 230. Reverse point spread props are just like you can... So the normal spread right now is Pats -3, right? So they're expected to win by 3.
Right.
And you can bet alternate spreads. So Rams +7.5, keep it within a touchdown. That's pretty solid.
So what does that minus 230 mean? I mean, that's pretty big odds.
Minus 230 is...
Because that can't be an odds because the Rams keep it within...
So, minus 230 sure. is kind of like the American way of doing it. Like minus... So 12 to 1 odds is +1200.
Oh, so, I see. I get you.
You know what I mean? So we use minus. I don't know if that's American actually, but that's how I've learned it. So, a minus 230 is like bet 100 to win
230.
Around $40. It should be around $40.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like I'm saying, for the minus, the Josh Johnson minus 650, you're betting 100 to win $15.
Will Cordarrelle Patterson score a touchdown? It's on a no. He's got a very good chance. Actually, I'll tell you something. He is one of the best, quote unquote, non-fantasy players in the NFL, at least in my book.
Yeah, he's a good football player. Like, he's a good, like, he does a lot of things, right? Like,
yeah.
And he's, you know, he's fast. He's whatever. He can catch a little bit. He returns kickoffs really well. I think that's a pretty good, that's an interesting touchdown scoring bet. He's plus 700, which is, you know, bet 100, get win 700. That's pretty strong.
That is. That's not bad. That's pretty good. You know, that's yeah. Patterson. Yeah, he fell out of fantasy relevance about a couple of years ago. But since he's been with the Patriots, he's been a real important cog. He still doesn't carry any fantasy value unless you want to take a flyer in DFS. Like if you're you know, but. I think Cordarrelle Patterson, yeah, you play a little bit of DFS. Is he a guy that you'd punch in a DFS card for?
He's back when he was, well, put it this way, not this year, cause with the Pats, except for those like three games he was playing running back, those were great. But with the Pats, he's not really used as like a deep threat. He's used as like a screen guy. He's used as a screen guy, reverse guy, that kind of thing. So he's not like Ted Ginn where it's like, every one of three games, he's catching a 60-yard touchdown. Yeah.
But I don't know. He's shown me something. Like, not as a fantasy player, but as a just real football player.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a really good – like, he's a good player. Like, I would love to have him on my team. Like, he returns kicks. He returns kicks. Like I said, you could do all that screen stuff with him, reverse stuff. And then those two games, three games where he came in and started at running back for the Patriots, that was really impressive.
Yep.
Because he was good.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a bum. Yeah.
And of course, fantasy, of course, we think of him as that, but, oh, it's too bad. It's too bad. Fantasy is so cruel. Team with the longest kickoff return in the game, the Rams, that's no surprise. Well, it is a bit of a surprise because we just talked about Cordarrelle Patterson and that's something he's good at, but, the Rams, who returns kicks for them most of the time?
Now, I'm going to drop a little bit of betting wisdom, and I think I will be betting on this one.
Oh, right.
The team with the longest kickoff return in a game is the Rams. My understanding of how the Patriots do kickoffs is that they always try to kick it, ever since they changed it to the 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
The touchback to the 25. They always try to kick it to within the 5-yard line to force the returner to come out.
Yeah.
And then they cover it so that they don't get them past, they don't let the guy get past the 25 and they count it as a win because if he just kicked it out of the end zone, that's 25 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they play it safe by kicking it short and they don't give up a lot of big returns. Now, I could be completely asinine and wrong, but I don't really think I am. I think I've read articles about it. So,
no, but
if you want to go by that. And then, you know, the longest, if you want to go by just pure statistics, the Rams have 652 return yards this season. The Patriots have, oh, okay, that's average. Okay, so the Rams average 22.5 per return. The Patriots average 24.6. They had a long of 97, and the Rams have a long of 42. So, both those things, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's good that you keep your eyeball on something like that because, you know, it's something people just don't think about is that they just kick the ball and, but you've noticed that in a lot of games that, teams just do try to find that sweet spot with the kickoffs. So, obviously, and maybe this might be to the point of what we're saying about kickers. Kickers kind of have importance.
If you think about it, if you're a Zuerlein, like, he's probably booting it back out the back of the end zone every time with his leg.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
All right. Will CJ Anderson score a touchdown? No. There's always that possibility. This is like the thing.
Yeah. I think the hype on him has gone a little high, though. So I kind of see value on the no side just because I think his yes chances are a little too high. Yeah. He's minus 150 to score a touchdown, which just doesn't seem right.
I don't know. Is it just me or does CJ Anderson starting to look a bit like Eddie Lacy a bit?
Yeah, he's fat. No, he's fat. That's not. He looks. He's wearing the 35, right? I legitimately like flashes of Mike Tolbert.
Yeah.
He looks like, you know, he looks like he's out of shape. He's wearing the long sleeves and his arms look like I have no definition. It's very strange.
Yeah. Got cut by the Panthers, but now he's on a Super Bowl team. So he won out. Will Jonathan Jones have an interception? The answer is the consensus is no. The betting side is no on that. Again, we're talking
incredibly random.
Yeah. So but didn't we just have John Johnson already?
Jonathan Jones is the safety for the Patriots.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think he. Is he a cornerback? I don't even think he plays. I feel like people think they're talking about Josh Johnson.
Yeah, John Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah, well, either way, I'm staying away from that bet.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah, anything to do with interceptions. Point spread proposition, Rams. We've already talked about point spreads here. Alternate game total, under 72.5 points. I actually kind of predict a I think this will be a tight game. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be tight. I think you'd be lucky to have, I think you're kind of looking like a 10-7 at half and then it opens up a little more in the second half, but I think you're looking like in the 40s or low 40s, maybe high 30s.
Low 40s total.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
I would think so. It just has a sense of this. You got a sense that this is one of these games that just comes out and goes defensive.
Yeah, I think both defenses have a lot of talent. So, you know, you could see a lot of plays being made, which could, you know, drive the score down a little bit. But, my thing is the Patriots don't typically score a lot of points in the Super Bowl outside of these last 2 years, which have been pretty ridiculous years. But, you know, usually they hover around 24, something like that. Outside of the last 2 years, they've point totals, back to the Seahawks is 52 points. And then the year before that, loss to the Giants was 38. Mm. Loss again, but to the Giants was 31. The Eagles Super Bowl was 45. Panthers Super Bowl was 51. The Rams first Rams Super Bowl was 37.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Atlanta one, they needed overtime to get over the 57 projected over. And then last year was just a ridiculous game. So,
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be, the championship game. Hmm. Got to kind of take that into consideration as well, because this is the all like we said, this is the other team of that Monday night spectacular offensive show.
Yeah.
To win Pro Bowl. Pro Football Championship MVP. Oh, the MVP is on this list here. Jared Goff.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's a popular bet, I guess, if, you know, at 2-1, you're based. So the reasoning I'm hearing for this one is, like, if you think the team's quarterback is basically favored to win the the Super Bowl MVP, right? You would agree there?
I would get it usually goes to a quarterback.
Right. So if you think the Rams are going to win, you're getting better odds placing Super Bowl MVP 2-1 for Goff than you are for a Rams win, which is plus 150.
Yep.
So that's the logic, is you might as well just bet Goff. But I don't know about that, because I think Gurley could have a good game, like Donald could do something. I don't know. Actually, yeah. I understand the logic.
Well, it's pretty savvy. We'll talk a little bit more about that after we go through this the rest of this list here. More points will be scored in the second half. Yes, it always is. I would say so.
Always. Especially with the Patriots, they always come out slow.
Yeah, and also defense is tired to get, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rams score in every quarter? No, easy. Yeah, that's definitely a no.
That's just tough to do.
Yeah. Will game be decided by exactly 3 points? And that's a no. And so that ends the top 20 by William Hill. So we're finished with that. So I'm going to move that to the side. You got a little tip here. Aqib Talib and Brandon Cooks playing against their old team. That's true. I never thought of that.
Yeah, revenge game.
Yeah. Huh. Right.
I don't know. You think when the Patriots traded Brandon Cooks to the Rams, they thought they'd be facing this? Do you think they're scared? Do you think they're like, oh no, like, come back to haunt us?
No, I don't.
This is why we needed Jonathan, man. We needed Jonathan to talk about these kind of things.
Yeah, that's true. Because, Brandon Cooks, I mean, he played on the, Patriots system. I don't know what info he can give the Rams about the Patriots. I mean, he was there for an entire season. So, I think.
But I mean, like, he wasn't a factor in the Super Bowl because he got concussed, but he has playoff experience. He is a big time receiver, and I don't know. I always thought it was weird how easily the Patriots let him go.
Yeah,
like he had a big season. He's 24 years old, and he put up great stats, and you know he fits their offense, whatever, and they traded him. I don't know. It was weird, but that's why we need Jonathan to talk about these things.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he couldn't join us today.
Yes. A big shout out to to Jono. But we'll get him on here. We'll be talking about free agency in a few weeks. So I don't think we'll do a combine. We'll see how it goes.
Definitely not. Unless someone breaks a record. Come on. I'm not.
No, I do watch the combine a little bit. Like when I just like to see who's in it. If there's anybody of interest, like, of course, last year was Saquon Barkley. Of course, he busted everything open. Let's look at some other, ones that you brushed out here, Kev.
Yeah. So these are some of my favorites, that, you know, I may or may not place money on. Over under 56.5. I'm kind of with you. I kind of like the under. I feel like it's been a really offensive driven season. So the people are kind of driving the over under spread up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this game could easily end 27-24, something like that, which is like not low scoring, but that's 51 points. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
57 points. You're basically asking for a 30-27 game, which I could see it. Obviously I could see it, but I don't know. I think this game could easily, especially like we said, the Patriots start slow.
Yeah.
Goff has shown I think people aren't talking enough that Goff has shown that you can rattle him. Like you can't, like he had that one game was against the Vikings where he literally was the worst quarterback. Like he had a terrible game, right? So he has those kind of games. And if you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to plan for him, I think there's a chance that he could be effective. And I'm not even bringing up the fact that in his three playoff games, I don't know what he did last year. I think he didn't throw any touchdowns last year, right? So he's had one passing touchdown in his three career playoff games.
Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good quarterback though. He's really learning the game, but, there's no doubt that Belichick will have some sort of schemes to, confuse him.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's not good. I do think Jared Goff is a really good quarterback. I'm just saying that, so he had a touchdown in last year in a playoff game. So he's had two touchdowns in three playoff games. So my thing is just that I don't think he's the type of quarterback who can really, really carry a team, you know, like let's say for whatever, somehow the Patriots just shut down the run game. I don't know if Jared Goff is the guy who's just going to throw it 50 times and, you know, go blow for blow with Brady.
Yeah. And if you look at, like, I mean, on the Patriots side of it for what Brady has to face. I mean, Aaron Donald. I mean, he's even like he's what do we got here? He's 20-1 for a Super Bowl MVP. Now that's pretty low for he's the. I mean, I guess he's the highest defensive players. I don't see well, you got who have we got for the Patriots defensively? Is it they got Gilmore?
Yeah, Gilmore. They don't really have like a standout pass rusher. So, they have that one guy. Well, I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah,
Jonathan would know. But anyways.
Yeah, Jonathan would know.
I mean, the Patriots, like, they're not like studs all over the field, but they obviously have like a really good defense when, especially with time to game plan. McCourty is someone that I'm surprised isn't at least 101 odds or something like that.
Yeah, McCourty. Yeah, I forgot about him. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Aaron Donald, of course, Aqib Talib is there as well. So
yeah,
but
if you're betting on a defensive player, essentially what you're betting is it's a low scoring game and they cause one of the touchdowns.
Right.
Because that's the only time defensive players win, or especially, you know, special teams players win. Like when Malcolm Smith won it for the Seahawks, it was because it was a low scoring game and he took a pick six back and he like made another play or something like that. So you're basically, if you're going to bet on a defensive player, you have to bet you want to think it's going to be low, because if it's a high scoring game and they have one defensive touchdown, like that's great. But the quarterback on your team probably also threw three touchdowns. So you're not going to win it.
Right. Kev, let's move on and,
Yeah, so we talked about this one. Will there be a successful two-point conversion? I'm on the yes, plus 165 on that. Maybe same with the fourth down conversion. James White to score two-plus touchdowns, plus 800. Huge fan of this one.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, he balls out in the playoffs. And when Brady, I don't know. Like, I don't know if teams are too busy trying to take away Gronk and you know, the other running back or – you know, whatever receivers they've got, Brandon Cooks at the time, but James White is always kind of left to his own devices and able to do things. And when I think when the game, if the Patriots ever have to come back, like he's for sure going to be on the field.
Yep.
Like all the time. Like that's what we saw in the Falcons game. He dominated that game because they were coming back from 28-3 and he was just on the field all the time. So I like James White to score 2+ touchdowns. That's plus 800. That's good value to me, I think. Rex Burkhead to score a touchdown at plus 115, I think is also really good value.
Yeah, I like
they just use him as that goal line back. They just use him a lot.
Yeah, he's the CJ Anderson of the
like
team.
I'm honestly thinking about placing a bet that's just like Burkhead plus 115 at a certain amount, Devlin to score a touchdown at an amount, and then between those two guys, I think one of them is going to get like a goal line rushing touchdown.
Yep. No, either, it's
Michelle,
very
yeah. And if Michelle snakes it, like that's fine, I'll live.
Yeah, yeah. Burkhead's the other guy too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So longest field goal. We talked about will there be a long field goal longer than what was it 54.5?
Mm.
Like that's too long for me. But the longest field goal over and under 47.5, I like the over on that.
Yeah.
I think both teams trust their kickers enough to roll out them for a 48-yarder.
Yeah, unless it's a winning kick at the end of the game.
Right. I like that. I like it at the end of the half. That's like the situation I see happening where someone scores, gets the ball back, and the other team gets the ball with a minute 10, and, you know, they get a quick 40-yard drive, and they line up a 48-yarder, that kind of thing. I like that.
Yeah, especially indoors.
Yeah, especially indoors with, like we said, Zuerlein and Gostkowski are really good kickers. So I like over 48.5. Still on the kicking game, will both teams make a 33-plus-yard field goal? Minus 155.
Often,
I'm going to have to do my research, but this seems like an easy yes for me.
Yeah, it's an easy yes because you notice a lot of times opening drives, depending on who gets the ball first, like, you know, the drive breaks down, they kick the field goal. You see it all the time. You know?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it's not even like a game plan. It's just 33-yard field goal, like what you're kicking it from the 18. Like that's right outside the red zone. And that happens. I feel like that happens all the time. But
yeah.
That's why I said I need to probably do some research and maybe it doesn't happen as often as I think where both teams do it.
Well, it always seems more important for teams to be, if they don't get the field goal, they're not going to make the effort to get in there and take over the, take a chance on a first down. You know, the idea is to be the first to get points on the board.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So the last one that I have is, will the last play of the game be a quarterback rush? Which basically means, will it be a kneel?
Mm.
Yes is minus 165. I like the no on this, plus 135. I think the only situation where it's going to be a kneel. I don't really see the Rams kneeling it out. I think
that usually indicates a blowout.
Not necessarily a blowout, but maybe a close game where just if you can, you know, get a fourth down and hold the, you know, get a fourth down and you end it that way.
Mm.
But I think this game is not going to be that kind of game. I feel like it's either going to end because someone couldn't get a fourth, convert a fourth down.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be like a blowout. I don't know. That's kind of like plus 135 for me is I think there's value on the fact that, you know, those two options are just as likely as, you know, 2 minutes left and the Rams are out of timeouts and can't stop. That's my thing, right? Is I don't think either of these coaches have time management issues.
No.
So I think they'll have their timeouts and stuff like that. I think if it comes down to that, I think their defenses are stout enough that they'll be able to get that last stop that they need.
And even if one of the teams is two scores down, I think they.
Yeah, if it's two score down, you're not kneeling it. You're just going to run some BS play. So
yeah.
I like the no for last play of the game to be a QB rush. Yeah. I don't think anyone's kneeling it down. I like that one a lot.
Right. So we've got to talk about our actual prediction.
Last one.
Sorry.
Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, yes.
Super Bowl MVP. Brady is the favorite even odds, which is insane. But I like – if you're going for value, I like Gronk or James White 40-1. I just think – like we said, we talked about Gronk, we talked about James White. He shows up in big games. Although, you know, now that I think about it, if he wasn't going to get it that Falcons game, he's probably not going to get it for the Patriots game or if the Patriots win.
Hogan and Patterson, though, 80-1. That's just throwing money away there.
Yeah. Patterson, the 80-1. Like, so I went down this and I
he would have to return two kicks for touchdowns or punts.
My exercises for these are like, okay. What's the scenario where they win MVP, right? So yeah. Brady, obviously, everyone knows. Michelle, the argument is he scores three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Edelman, you know, Gronk catches three touchdowns. James White probably has to run a touchdown or two in and then catch a touchdown or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan, come on. Patterson is the one where it's like, oh, low scoring game, he runs one back.
Yeah. He's got to run more than just one
back. And he catches like a touchdown too. Like, remember the Ravens-Niners game? Like Jacoby Jones, he had a very good case to be Super Bowl MVP that year because he took a kickback and he caught a long touchdown.
Yeah, I suppose, but it's more than that. You got to be like, really out. You got to be really outstanding.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And he didn't even win it, so like, you got to do even more than that. So
yeah,
it's got to be a low scoring game. That's the thing for like these kind of things for like these fluke players to win it. It has to be a low scoring game.
Yeah. But I like Aaron Donald at 20-1. I really do.
I love Aaron Donald at 21 is super interesting to me because, like I said, if it becomes a messy game, I feel like he could, let's say he has, you know, two sacks and a forced fumble, which got returned for a touchdown or something like that. Like, and the game ends 21-17. Like, I can see him winning.
Yeah. So outside of the quarterbacks, there's some pretty good bets there. But Aaron Donald at 20-1, I think that's a bargain. Yeah. I mean,
I also like Gurley 16-1. Because I think people are maybe overrating how, like, people are like, kind of like, oh, is he not good? Like, is CJ Anderson going to take so many of his touches? Blah, 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 blah. I think he played like 90% of the Rams snaps up until those last 2 weeks after he injured his knee. So given 2 weeks of rest, I think he's going to be real. I think if the Rams win, he really will have to have a really big game.
Yeah, he would be. He's a difference maker, like Aaron Donald. Yeah. Those two guys are good outside long odd picks.
More so than Goff. I like Gurley at 16-1 way more than I like Goff at 2-1.
Yeah, I agree completely. Brady even money. Yeah,
Brady even money is like that's hilarious to me because he's 41. It's crazy.
So, anything else to add with this?
That's it. That's all I got. I think I'll probably come out with more. I don't know. Maybe I'll tweet them out.
All right. Without our, I guess before we get to our final Super Bowl predictions, I guess we can talk about next year and who we think it will be in the Super Bowl next year. Got a few numbers here that you've put up. Got the Rams and the Saints and the Chiefs all at 7-1. Patriots 8-1. I'm finished with counting out the Patriots. I really am. I'm
going to bet it right now.
I can't. You can never count out the Patriots. Not until, I don't know, either Brady retires or Belichick, you know.
I think at the beginning of the season, we did that Super Bowl preview. and we said Rams Chargers, right? But I think I remember telling you and Keith that there's really no reason to bet against the Patriots.
It really isn't.
To bet against the Patriots, you have to actively talk yourself out of it.
That's true.
Other teams, you have to talk yourself into it. Like, you have to say, oh, you know, the Steelers defense could really show up and that offense could be really is the best in football. But with the Patriots, it's just like, well, maybe their pass rush isn't going to be good enough this year. But
honestly, you know, I thought the Vikings would be in it this year. I mean, when I went way back, I thought the Vikings would be in it.
Yeah.
I was way off.
People were picking the Vikings a lot, the Rams a lot, and yeah, I don't think anyone thought the Saints would be this good. Definitely no one thought the Chiefs would be that good.
The Saints, well,
I don't think that people thought they'd be the one seed.
No.
I think people were really, really, really high on the Vikings.
Yes.
Yeah.
They really underachieved. The Bears, on the other hand, were overachieved. The Bears look good, actually. They lost to the Cowboys, but, you know, so they, or pardon me, the Eagles. Yeah, the Cowboys beat the Seahawks.
And
the Seahawks overachieved, too. I think a lot of people were surprised that they.
Oh, I really thought they were not going to have a good year. I thought there was not a lot of talent on the team outside Russell.
I don't know.
Because there isn't. There really isn't. Like, Cam Chancellor gone, Earl Thomas gone, Sherman gone. You know, the running backs are a question mark. I think their run game was probably one of the most surprising things of the season to me.
Yeah, but I think they found a defense with Wagner. Wagner is an awesome player.
Right? He's a monster. He's so good.
So, they're pretty. I think he had a lot to do with it.
Next year, I really like Colts 25-1.
Yeah.
Because I think they're already good, and they have a ton of cap space, and they're going to be able to add people. Yeah. I like the Colts. I think he can. I think Luck is, it wouldn't surprise me if he was a Super Bowl winner by the time he retired.
I think I'm going to have to say the Saints. The Saints are going to be on a mission next year because of what happened in the conference final.
My worry about the Saints is that outside of Brady, like, old quarterbacks just randomly fall off a cliff. Like, Peyton randomly just fell off a cliff. And I think we saw Breeze slow down towards the end of the season this year. He really wasn't good in that Rams game.
No.
And towards the end of the year, if you just look at his numbers, they were not the same as they were, you know, they weren't up to his standards. And he's quietly 40.
Yes.
Yeah. So
he's quietly 40. Very quietly 40.
Yeah, he's quietly 40. He didn't throw 4,000 yards this year. He obviously had a great completion percentage, didn't throw any interceptions, whatever. But, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think that was, you know, like, I don't think it was just like, they traded like, a fourth-round pick for him, right? So I don't think that was just like a...
But the Saints were doing a lot of weird things this year. They were doing like Taysom Hill and doing this, this read option stuff and wildcat junk. You know, and all this stuff.
But I'm just saying, you know, in his last six games,
I know
only two games with two touchdowns.
Yep.
Two games above 100 passer rating.
Yeah, we're moving into the new era now. Definitely, you're starting to see guys like Trubisky and Watson and Mahomes, of course, and Goff, of course. The new era is upon us now.
It's starting to come. Yeah, I mean, Brady, Breeze are going to go soon. Then, you know, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Manning. Then, you know, Rodgers.
Yeah. Rivers.
Rodgers, Ryan. Those guys. You know, it's every 2-3 years, like, you just kind of pass on tiers. And I could see, like, Breeze being kind of mediocre next year. Then the year after retiring, then Rivers and Brady follow him, that kind of thing. Like, I could see it starting to go. Maybe not. I hope not. I love watching Breeze, but
yeah, I do like watching Breeze in his heyday. He was just fantastic. I mean, I'm not saying that he can't have a major swan song whenever that is, but like you say, he has slowed down. But I think there's been an adjustment on the offense too, as we could see with Taysom Hill and stuff. So we don't know how much that had an effect on him, but I think Sean Payton was gearing that. But, you know, New Orleans, they've got to be happy because they've had a pretty good run of great football after years and years of having lousy teams. And in the era of Breeze, they've had nothing but fun and excitement with their football team.
So. But also, if I'm a Saints fan, I'm also furious that we lost a chance at a Super Bowl because of a blown call.
Oh, it was a terrible blown call. That call was just so bad. I don't know. I think we're going to be coming up to the time when calls on the field can be reviewed. I think they're going to be looking at that. I think it's probably, it started off like, automatic reviews for turnovers, automatic reviews for scores. They could have automatic reviews for, maybe not an automatic review, but.
Not automatic, no way. Yeah.
But they could have review, like a coach can throw a red flag if they want a call
be reviewed. I could see calls becoming challenging.
Yeah.
And you just challenge it like a spot, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I really can't see anything else.
If they can challenge a spot, right? And they can, and also, I think there's other penalty calls that can be reviewed too.
You can challenge like 12 men on the field, that kind of thing.
Yes. Exactly. You can challenge 12 men on the field. You can challenge, but you can't challenge like, I don't know why we can't challenge like illegal formation. I don't know why that can't be challenged. You see coaches going nuts on the sidelines all the time for blown illegal formation calls. You know, and that's all. Of course, you got Romo out there always pointing out that's an illegal formation. I don't know why. And you can see the coach over there going nuts. You know, so I don't see.
That's a prop bet too. I've seen on another website. It's like how many plays will Tony Romo call correctly? And it was, I think it was like plus 3.5, or it was over under 3.5.
Yeah. That's another prop. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Tony Romo is awesome. He's probably what he is. I don't know. And you look at Aikman, he just looks so kind of old world. And he's always, I don't know, Aikman just, he's been out of the game too long. And I mean, you kind of had that hope for Jason Witten being, okay, he's been in the league. He knows the modern game. But some guys have it and some guys just don't. And,
I was telling my friend the other day, Cowboys fan, I was telling him Tony Romo is so good at broadcasting that ESPN thought Jason Witten would just be that good.
It's like
the Sean McVay thing, right? Like Cliff Kingsbury got here hired because he's friends with Sean McVay.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing is that NBC Sunday Night Football, they'd like to snake him away if, depending on the future of Sunday Night Football. We all know that when Michaels is good, it's going to be Mike Tirico. But so it should be, I don't know. And I don't know how long Michaels has got to go, but he might have at least one or two Super Bowls left in him. But he's getting up there on Michaels. And I've noticed in his commentating, it's starting to get a little bit choppy. He's not as... Al Michaels, yeah. He's not as a little bit sharp. He's, when he makes a mistake, right? You just like, what? you jump up and take notice, but there's been a few little minor gaffes coming in with him, but, oh man, the gaffes between Booger and Jason Witt, Booger McFarlane. Oh man, what an embarrassment. But even Jason Witten, but I don't know what it is, but the ESPN says we're stuck with them anyway, but, yeah, looking forward to the CBS crew doing their thing. Okay. Let's do our predictions.
All right. You want to go first?
I'll go first. I'm going to say, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Sadly, I do believe that although Sean McVay is, a very talented coach. He's going to get another chance one day, and he's probably going to win a Super Bowl at some point. He may even win this one. I'm not giving up on him, but I really feel the experience of Bill Belichick and the Patriots will be ready for this game. They know how to shut down things. They know how to. I'm not saying that last year that. Nick Foles was a fluke. Because let's face it, Nick Foles is a gamer. I mean, Nick Foles, he's a big game quarterback, right? You put Nick Foles in the middle of the season and he's not great, but Nick Foles, he plays for the moment and he did. But I just feel like I think the Patriots will be ready to win yet another Super Bowl. So, and I'm going to say the score will be, as I say, probably be lowish, maybe 27-22 for the Patriots.
So okay.
You can put me down for that. So that's sure. My prediction for the Super Bowl. Batter up.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of gave what my thoughts about the game would be during the props thing. Like you, and I think the rest of the public, kind of leaning towards the Patriots' experience to win it. I am probably leaning that way as well. I think, again, I have concerns about the Rams' offense, especially because Bill Belichick and they do that thing on defense where they try to take away one thing, right? And what's, you know, the Rams, none of their receivers really scare me enough where I think the Patriots will try to take them away. So I think what they're going to try to do is try and shut down Todd Gurley. And if they shut down Todd Gurley, I personally don't think Goff gets it done.
No. He's not a gamer like Foles.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be a pretty ugly game. I'm not sure it's going to be close. I feel like the Patriots can kind of not do whatever they want on offense, but they have so many options. They have three running backs who can do stuff. They have Gronk. They have Edelman, who's obviously doing, you know, he's been doing it for a while. Hogan has shown signs of life recently. Dorsett and Cordell Patterson can be useful. So I think the Patriots are going to score. I worry about the Rams going to score. That's why I'm going with the under. And I think this final score will be something like 27-17.
27-17. All right. Two scores, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
My one concern, honestly, this is going to sound stupid, but my one concern is the Vegas line. It opened at Rams -1 and it moved all the way to Patriots -3.
That's a big move.
So what I'm planning to do is to have, I think probably two scenarios to bet. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to do, because in that scenario, I still don't really see the Patriots losing, but I could see them winning like 24-23 and not covering. Mm. So I haven't decided yet, but on the pod, I will go with 27-17.
Oh, can I make another prediction of this game?
Of course.
People will say Doritos had the best Super Bowl ad.
Really?
Okay. Doritos always have the best.
Yeah, they do have good ones.
I always wait for the Doritos ad. Doritos, besides, I like Doritos maybe too much, but Doritos always have great, great Super Bowl ads. So I'm looking forward to Doritos putting out another good one this year. So I don't know.
I don't know what else they would do.
I always do something comical. And yeah, I always
I don't know. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of who else has good commercials.
Well, you know, you always get the car commercials. And I always think that they're always kind of like esoteric and, you know, like something about humanity and, you know, we just got to get it together now. You know, like really it's Kumbaya stuff. And I hate Kumbaya commercials, like with that Kumbaya atmosphere. So, you know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, we get it. We should all be together and have and let love, you know, rule us all. We get it. We get it. But, you know, well, I like commercials that have a bit of fun. I mean, yeah, sure. I guess, I mean, we're going to get Kumbaya stuff and the cute dog, right? We're going to get the cute dog or the cute baby.
Budweiser commercial with the cute dog, yeah.
Yeah. But, and they always seem to be the ones that are popular with the cute dog or the cute baby. So I don't know, but I always like the comedy ones, like Doritos. You can always count on Doritos for a good laugh, which is what I like. I mean, I don't know. The Super Bowl commercials, they're kind of like the part of the thing. And you know what a thing bothers me, too, is that Super Bowl commercials never get played again. It's like, this is sort of like, you know, this isn't good. I want to see that one again. You know, sometimes, you know, I mean, if it's good and popular, why not play the Super Bowl commercial? I did like that one. You remember that one who was like it was that woman who she was like saving the whales. She gets like it, or she was, And she got, you know, a whale flipped her up and she hit into the boat and stuff like that. I can't remember that one.
I don't remember that
one. Or she was hugging a tree and it fell down and stuff like this. She was doing all these, like, things and they were sort of like poking fun at causes and stuff. So, we'll see. We'll see. I just hope there's a little bit more comedy. Mm. We need a good laugh during the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. Did we talk about halftime, about Marine 5?
A little bit. I mentioned it.
So, I don't know. Mostly, I guess, I wonder if there's any betting on if the national anthem is sung correctly.
Definitely. There's always big prop bets on how long they're going to take, if they miss a word, that kind of thing.
Do you think it's going to be, I guess, the length of how long the national anthem, because, you know, you get the singers who like, you know, who like to put a lot of yay yay in it.
Yeah. I don't know who the singer is this year, so.
I hope it's not a yay yay national anthem.
It's always, that's actually one of my favorite things to bet, yay, like casually as a friend.
A banner yet, yay yay way, yay 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 over the land, do ba da ba do ba da ba do ba da ba do da 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 free. And the home, yada, 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 of the brave. You know, just give me, you know who the best, anthem singer I think is? Jim Cornelison of the Chicago, he's a Chicago Blackhawks. Look him up on YouTube. He did the Seattle Seahawks, Chicago Bears game once. He's a tenor guy, right? And he does all the Chicago Blackhawks games. And they had him out there for a Chicago playoff game. So he was good. So, Kev, pleasure, as always.
Yes, sir.
Talking about football. And I guess we'll probably talk again once free agency gets in. Hopefully, we'll get that. We want to thank you for joining us on our Super Bowl preview and prognostication show special. So be sure to check out fantasysixpack.net, everybody. For baseball's coming up, so make sure that you check out Fantasy Six Pack, you baseball fantasy players, and see what's going on in baseball, because it's around the corner, and I don't do it myself, but Joe Bond and AJ Applegarth just had their first podcast of the season for baseball, so be sure to check that out, plus all the other sports like basketball and hockey as well. Hockey DFS. Okay, Kev, take care, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Well, happy Super Bowl Sunday. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.